Sometimes a client needs to be able to manage their development on their site, and our program allows for us to test different features before they actually hard code them in order for them to save a lot of really dev time and money and effort and headache and heartache. So having that understanding and being able to tackle that and giving and arming our CROs with that information, I think is very valuable. How about you?
Couple of lessons, and they might be intertwined. But the first one, as a company grows, we are small, correct? If you remember, we were only like 5-6 people. We knew every little detail. And especially when we actually working in the same office, you see everything that's going on, right? Now, as the company grows and now suddenly closer to 40 people and everybody's virtual, everybody's working like at a different place, you really don't know what's going on in the company. There's a lot. And I was telling you earlier that maybe we probably know only 10% of what goes through the company. Yes, we attend meetings, yes. But there's a lot of things that happen, correct, that we don't. So I think culture matters in that point.
Back in 2006, we had this great idea of starting a digital marketing agency, Invesp. We had no idea what our journey would look like and how our company would grow.
In a turn of events, as if we weren't busy enough, a couple of years ago, we launched our SaaS company, ThickPie. Two companies run by a husband-wife team and stretched thin. Our life is crazier than ever.
Join us every week on Boot Trapped, where we talk about running our two companies, the ups, the downs, and the lessons we learn along the way.
Another week, another episode, Boot Trapped, and Ayads. How has it been?
It has been going well. Last week, we actually had some live coaching sessions, which it was all about planning for 2024. And I think part of that planning for 2024, you need to reflect on 2023. What are some of the things that you've been doing? What are some of the things that have been working well? What are some of the things that need to be fixed? So that's really what we were doing last week, and it was insightful.
So Ayat was just telling me before we started the podcast, like, you ask questions. I have to ask you questions.
And I told him, it's completely okay to ask questions. Just don't ask questions that are going to be putting me on the spot or correcting me live on the podcast, which happens. So those types of things.
Okay. So you're going to find this a little bit strange. My impression of the session was just absolutely great. I love the sessions that we did last week. I'm going to ask you a question that I don't have an answer for. Which part of the planning that we did and the different exercises did you find most insightful? You know what I'm saying?
It's always interesting because I think a lot of times when you have these talks, it's not like things that haven't occurred to you necessarily, but it's about trying to focus them into and compartmentalize like what needs to be done as a result. If I want to do this XYZ, we always talk the talk, but it's like, okay, now we need to walk the walk. That's what I thought was helpful, is actually putting actions behind what we want to do. For instance, one of the things that we talked about was refocusing our narrative. We've been talking a lot about what's the value that we give our clients. And this is like a pain point that we've had forever. Is how do we show the value?
Can I just interject over here? Because that's where the business coach asked us. He said, okay, so we can look at the numbers specifically. And I think there are very few marketing agencies can do what we do in terms of looking at the numbers, knowing exactly what change we've made, and come back to the client and say, hey, we've helped you in the last 3 weeks make $750,000 to the cent. And then the client might turn around and say, yeah, but I don't want to continue working with you. And they had given you a 9 out of 10 NPS score. You've made them money. They said that they're happy with you. And it's like, oh, we're not going to continue working with you. So that goes back to the narrative where the coach is like, why on earth? Because it would be stupid for anybody to say that. So now going back to the narrative that you were talking about, the more we struggled.
Exactly. So there's a couple of things actually having to do with that, because I also believe, and this is something that we're able to narrow down, is who are the right type of clients? Like, there are some clients that are just not there in terms of understanding exactly the value, even if you explain the narrative and you show the numbers and whatnot. So I think that there's part of that as well, is part of this exercise that we did with the coach, is understanding that profile. What is that ideal profile that we need to go after? because their size, the amount of traffic that they get, the type of company that they are, the type of, you know, product or service that they provide, and then also like their education as far as CRO. Those are all components that make it a lot easier for us to be able to explain our narrative without always having to be on the defense. And I think that's always an issue. And I believe all marketing companies face this. Like, it is very niche what we do, but it's not particular to marketing, where any type of marketing agency is going to be under the same type of scrutiny. So it's a matter of trying to figure out, like, how do I carve out what it is exactly what I do? How can I show them the most value? What are the points that I need to be really insisting on for the client to understand that overall value? And it's three-pronged. It's not really like just showing them the numbers and the money that they made. There are all the other areas where you can show your client value, and those are all important. And they all kind of work together in order to really maintain that longevity of the client staying with your company.
Yeah, I have to comment because I love that. So I've always thought it was funny, like every business book that you go to, every marketing is like, oh, identify your client, identify your target customer, your ideal customer. And I have to say this, yes, I completely agree with that. And I think the exercise that we did last week is extremely helpful. But here's the reason I never really took these very seriously. When you're just starting out a business, I am taking any client. Hello, welcome. You're going to pay me. I'm going to do the best that I can. But where Invesp is, it's in a completely different state compared to somebody who started a business. You have a ton of clients, companies, people are referring to you. Now you really need to look at, you have the luxury, should I use the word luxury, of choosing the right client. So you know what? I'm putting the same amount of work for client A or client B. Client A is my ideal. Client B is really not a good fit. So I might as well go with client A. They'll be happy. We'll be happy.
And what I would also just add to that, it's interesting because we had a sales conversation today. Although our marketing activities can try to also target this ideal client that we have in mind, you're not going to control who's going to come in and contact you and want your service. So, you know, like today, for example, we were looking at some of the pipeline and we were seeing there's some companies that might not fit that ideal, right? But again, it's about measuring everything, taking a step back, seeing what their needs are, seeing if they fall into certain categories. Do they have that open mind in testing? Are they super, do they care about these insights that the testing program is supposed to give them? Because that really, that profile is super important. Having that and understanding that can really like make a difference with these clients and the type of clients that come in and whether or not they're a good fit. Because we don't want clients that, for example, are going to just stay with us for 2 to 3 months because they wouldn't even see the value of the program. The reality is that the program is a long-term commitment to this kind of interest in testing and learning and growing as a result of that. It's an interesting kind of, I think we're still probably trying different things out to see what exactly is going to work and how do we really target and all that good stuff. And I think like the other really helpful thing from all the coaching was we're always thinking about new clients. But I loved the fact that we reflected and thought, no, we need to refocus on our existing clients. Like we don't want to lose our existing clients because we always have this mentality that, oh, a client's going to stay with us for a certain period. Why don't we work on extending that rather than always, you know, of course, you need to always be hunting for new. You also want to keep what you have and make sure that you're satisfying them and you're providing them with what they need. So I thought that was a really great way to put it.
Yeah. I'll finish this result of our coaching session. I love the fact that we had many points to discuss, many different exercises, analyze a whole bunch of data. The fact that we came out with three different priorities, priority one, priority two, priority three. And it really helped focus to say, you know what? Okay, here's what we are trying to accomplish. So it changed the conversation with sales, with marketing, with delivery, with project management. Guys, here are our priorities, because if we achieve those, we have done just absolutely amazing in terms of business and in terms of just where we want to be at. Okay, so that's coaching. What else?
And then I think part of our discussions as well had been talking about bringing the team together in terms of what are the roles and responsibility for each part of the team and trying to just structure things in a little bit of a different way. And this is also as a result of some of the coaching and discussions that we've had. So I've had some of those conversations with different team members in the different quote unquote departments, as I like to call them.
Teams, different teams. I know our team members like, oh, which department I'm in? I'm like, dude, we're too small to have a department.
That's how I said that word. They probably picked it up from me. I guess that's how I defined it, is that like the QA and the development, and yes, they're teams, but you can call them That was interesting because it also brought out some things that I was really surprised about in terms of pain points that some of the team members have been feeling. And that's always good to tackle and know and be able to focus on and try to mitigate.
I love that.
So how about for yourself, Khaled? What have you been up to? Because one of the things actually that we were supposed to do, of which we didn't get to because we had a lot to cover, is talk about FigPi in our coaching sessions.
Yeah, we got shafted, but it's okay because I can apply almost the same lessons, the same things that we've done for Invesp to FigPi. Although that's the reason, if you notice, I started by saying Invesp has the luxury of choosing which companies you work with, FigPi doesn't. And it's interesting because I'll correct myself because we've also, in the FigPi side of things, identified, okay, here's our ideal clients. Here are the type of clients that we want to go after. And then some clients were like, we're just really not a good fit in terms of the amount of work, what they expect from FigPi, what they expect from the software. And we're very clear about that. I'll give you an example. So part of FigPi is we have a visual editor that allows every user of FigPi to come to a website and edit the website. You move things around the website, you change the headlines. Some companies come to us and they want our visual editor to deliver the sun and the moon. We're like, okay, we're not a good fit for that. Yes, we have a visual editor, but it's really not something that we're investing heavily in. So right away from the get-go, we know that, okay, this is probably not the right fit company for us. One thing that I've spent last week on, away from the coaching session, is looking at our sales and marketing plans. And I don't know how I feel about this, but this is the first time that we actually enter the year with a budget, correct? Okay, here's how much marketing wants to spend. Here's how much sales want to spend. Here's what I'm expecting from marketing in terms of MQLs. Here's what we're expecting from sales in terms of actual new accounts that we want to land. Scary, exciting at the same time. We'll see. We're investing heavily in Q1, Q2. Because we think that you invest heavily and then you'll see the results. But investing heavily is a little scary. And mind you, we spend the same amount of money every year, probably. We're increasing the budget a little bit. But the fact that I had to sit with the team and actually plan it out and know that, oh my God, we're committing to spend that much money. Okay. And this commitment that was spread over 12 months is going to happen in sometimes 4 months, sometimes in 3 months. But I think that's part of growth. So it's just exciting. Something else, a couple of new features, finally released our 27 features that were on hold. Part of that is releasing e-commerce data that FigPi has. So typical A-B testing software out there. I don't know if our listeners really care for this, but I'll explain it in 30 seconds. It helps you say, oh, here's a new design for my homepage. Oh, you get 10,000 visitors to your site. So 5,000 will see the old design, 5,000 see the new design, and they will tell you which design is better. A good number of the companies that use FigPi are e-commerce companies. At this point, about 60%, by the way. It used to be a lot higher, but there's just so much demand for FigPi. So let's go back to our example. Here's a homepage, all current homepage design. Here's a new homepage design. And I'm going to tell you which design works better. For an e-commerce company, they want more data just because of the access to all the data that we want. We start providing all of that. For somebody who works in e-commerce, FigPi is just, okay, they don't have access to something similar anywhere else. So we're super excited with that. And it's funny because we just released it Monday. Tuesday, I had the demo for an e-commerce company and I walked them through and they're like, oh my God, can't believe you guys have all this data. For each different design, we're showing them the different products and how much revenue they collected and how much quantity they sold. And they're like, oh, this is never available anywhere else. I'm like, I know. Yeah, it's only here. That was exciting. And then, funny, so over the years, people had asked for a feature, especially enterprise companies, what we call a single sign-on. Didn't really care much to implement single sign-on. And now, every other enterprise company asks us, hey, do you guys have single sign-on? We don't have single sign-on.
Can you explain single sign-on?
So, like you sign, this is how much I understand about it. So let's say your company has a Google, manages all of their email through Google, through Amazon, or through Microsoft. So it's an email, and that's how you log into the company's email. By logging in there, it gives you access to our system as well. So it's a single sign-on as opposed to, oh, I have an ID on FigPi, I have an ID on like our system. So it's really a single sign-on. And it's expensive, by the way. So we looked at different solutions out there that allow you to do that. And sometimes they were charging like an arm and a leg per month. They'll charge up to $50 per month per email ID. So you have 100 users, 100 multiplied by 50, that's $5,000 to provide that functionality. Our dev team, of course, they're like, oh, we can build this ourselves. I'm like, no, we're not. There are companies that specialize in building this. You're not going to build it on your own. So we found a good solution and we're anticipating to deploy it. It took us almost 1 week. We're in the process of testing it right now. So we're going to roll it out, and there's a whole bunch of enterprise companies that are already customers of FicPi, but they're waiting for this feature. And then there's some companies that have been asking. We're like, hey, yes, we'll have that. So lots of exciting new features. Just trying to wrap up the year though, okay? What do we work on next? So there's lots of excitement. And at the same time, I think people are a little tired. I can appreciate that. Black Friday, Cyber Monday. There is lots of activity, lots of development, pure pushing. So you can feel that, okay, we need a breather. So that's what I was up to. Ayad, any big lessons from last week?
Yeah, there's a couple of big lessons. I think the first one, who our ideal client is a number of factors. And through our years, we should be able to identify it. So like just going through even... I liked how we did the matrix of all the companies and clients that we've had through the years and thinking about how long did they stay? What were some of the issues that we faced with them? How large was their marketing team? Just some different factors that kind of help you think about, oh, yeah, like this is how we can understand who the ideal like segment is and who we need to be after. So it's like you mentioned at the beginning, yeah, when you're starting out your company, you're taking anybody and anything that you see moving and willing to give you money. But when you've done it over the years, you have a huge slew of clients that you can start categorizing and understanding a little bit more about, well, what didn't work, what did work. But it also helps with my second lesson is figuring out how to manage client expectations, understanding their needs early on. Because of this matrix, we now know, hey, if a client comes in with XYZ problems or pain points, this is how we address it or this is how we figure it out. And I think that's really important as well is that from the sales process, there needs to be an understanding of what category does this client fall in and what do they need? Because sometimes a client needs more education about CRO. Sometimes a client needs insights versus just seeing revenue increases in numbers. Sometimes a client needs to be able to manage their development on their site, and our program allows for us to test different features before they actually hard code them in order for them to save a lot of really dev time and money and effort and headache and heartache. So having that understanding and being able to tackle that and giving and arming our CROs with that information, I think is very valuable. How about you?
Couple of lessons, and they might be intertwined. But the first one, as a company grows, we are small, correct? If you remember, we were only like 5-6 people. We knew every little detail. And especially when we actually working in the same office, you see everything that's going on, right? Now, as the company grows and now all of a sudden like closer to 40 people and everybody's virtual, everybody's working like at a different place, you really don't know what's going on in the company. There's a lot. And I was telling you earlier that maybe we probably know only 10% of what goes through the company. Yes, we attend meetings, yes. But there's a lot of things that happen, correct, that we don't. So I think culture matters in that point, the culture that you've developed within the company. And it's one of those things that you cannot just say, oh, here's our culture. No, culture is what you do. So you have to emphasize it again and again. So I love the comment, like, you know, some of the insights that you had, for example, at Invest, talking to the quality assurance team. And you came back and you said they had this complaints and they had this insight. And they had, I'm like, I don't want anybody in the company to feel that way. So it's good. And right away we said, you know what, we're going to correct that. And as a result also of the conversation that you've had, I've had some conversations with the developers and they're like, they're pointing out a different problem. I'm like, okay. I'm like, and that's why I tell them, I'm like, bring your problem, bring your suggested solution. Let's test it out. Let's figure out a way. Because our goal is to have you working with us for a very long time. And I want you to be comfortable when you're doing that. But if I don't know that there's a problem, I can't really help you even fix it. And I cannot promise also if there's a problem that we will actually be able to fix it. Some problems are there and it's just the way we work. So that's one thing. And then measure twice, cut once, as we come up with KPIs. And I think that's also fascinating. KPIs to measure the performance of different individuals, how they do, and thinking about what measurements we should deploy, because sometimes you'll be measuring the wrong thing and you think that things are really going well, but the reality you're like, you've lost the, you can't see the forest for the trees. You really need to make sure that you're very careful in your measurements. Going back to what you mentioned about sales data and customers and all that. This year was the first time that we pulled sales data. It was absolutely amazing, by the way, just looking at all of that. And I was like, wow, we've had all this data stored and we never really analyzed it so deep. But I think that applies across. So I'm excited looking at what data points we need and what decisions we make based on those data points. And Ayad, as we wrap up the episode, what are your plans for next week?
So plans are I am hoping that we're going to plan a company-wide meeting because we've rolled out majority of our roles and expectations. So I, you know, want to get everybody together, talk about new structures, talk about what the expectations are for Q1, Q2. So that's like a thing that right now is in the works. Additionally, what else do I have? Closing out the year and trying to figure out some of these big takeaways from our coaching session. We have some deliverables and some work that needs to be done in order to figure them out. And I think that's something we've been working on with the team, bringing in the team to be involved in that as well. As you said, I mean, there's just a lot of exciting things going on and looking forward to 2024.
That is awesome. Well, I'm going to finish this by saying I am trying to close out the year. We still probably have.
Did we reach our goals in terms of numbers? Because there was a certain number that we had said.
We've reached it one way. We didn't reach it another way.
From a user perspective, you didn't reach it, but we reached it from a revenue perspective.
Revenue perspective, we hit the revenue. We did really well. We exceeded the revenue target, but the number of customers, no, we did not reach that point. Revenue matters. I think both numbers, by the way, matter. So,
of course, they're both important in different ways.
I think we still have a couple more releases from now until the end of the year, and then we're doing lots of planning for 2024. I am traveling to Arizona tomorrow, so I'm going to see some friends that I have not seen, my buddies from college in 23 years. So I'm actually looking forward to that. It will be a little bit different. It would be good to escape the Chicago cold weather as well. So because they messaged and they said, hey, make sure that you bring your swimming trunks with you. And I'm like, ooh, okay.
Arizona, I think you're going to get better weather than I got when I was there.
But exciting. And we'll come back at it next week and try and tinker and fix things and FICPI and invest some more. Everyone, thank you for listening. I keep on asking this, but if you know somebody who would enjoy this podcast, please share it with them. And until next time.
Hey, thank you for listening to this episode from Bootstrapped. If you learned something new from this podcast or got some useful insights, we would really appreciate it if you leave us a review. Until next time.